So welcome to Codes of Higher Potential podcast. I'm John Graham. Today I've asked a good friend to join me on this podcast, and that is Shirab. Shirab, could you feel free to introduce yourself and maybe, if you're willing, share how we know each other?
Absolutely. John, it's a pleasure to be here. And I and John have been friends for last so many months, I could say years. So my name is Sharab, and I am a multidisciplinary professional, a chief data officer who has been in the technology and data space for the last 25 years. Much of it has been in the New York, New Jersey market, working with Fortune 500 financial services firms. That's one side of me. I'm also an abstract artist, art curator, and currently chair the board for the Center for Contemporary Arts here in New Jersey, where I'm based. A father of two daughters who keep me busy as well. And yeah, I've been a long-time New Jersey resident. I like to read on multiple disciplines, be it psychology, art, history, culture. Try to see where that multidisciplinary lens helps me and the others in their journey. So that's in short, John.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and we could have a girl dad podcast too. We should maybe start one because all the daughters we have together.
Yes,
Like not
yes.
together, but total, right?
Yep.
But it's I love what you do and who you are because you've got the creative abstract side and then you've got the logical, right? The textbook left and right brain, but you've got both of it. And I remember our conversations about like joining that, merging that, and how that can connect. So I love what you're about. If you have any questions, Rob, let's get started. Like, where do you want to guide this podcast to start?
Yeah, so I thought of bringing up three parts to this discussion, and John, I felt that you are the subject matter expert on this, from a mind engineering as well as emotional integration subject. Obviously, you are a memory champion, not once but thrice. Which you have proudly displayed there, your three wins in the US Memory Championship, and it is my esteemed pleasure to have known you and be friends. So I have written it down in my notes. So three things I want to talk to you, and it's pertinent to both personal as well as some of the work that I'm doing currently, and your feedback and your suggestions is going to be greatly helpful to the general public. So the first would be mind mechanics. I want to talk a little bit about that and then open up a few questions to you. Second would be on artificial intelligence, and I can certainly give a little bit of a guidance on that, like what specifically within artificial intelligence we want to nurture from a mechanics of how the two combine, the human mind and the artificial mind. And third is obviously not just from a cerebral sphere, but how do we bring it down to the human emotions, where we talk about the emotional integration aspects, right? So starting off with mind mechanics, and that's a fancy word I just termed. I've been playing around with it a little bit, and you and I have been talking about, some of the mind work, that how the mind works and a lot of that. An analogy I like to bring about, and this has been based on my own experimentation. The common belief is that our thoughts lead to emotions, emotions that lead to our actions, actions that lead to our habits and lifestyle, so on and so forth. But I wanted to start off with what is really a thought, right? And where does it come from? So one day during my meditation practice, and just for the viewers, I've been a long time meditator. I tried to create a thought. And to my surprise, I wasn't able to create a single thought. When I try to create a thought, it is impossible. Which, in my experience, is that we are not actually creating a thought because, you know, it just becomes null. Rather, we receive thoughts, right? Now, I said, okay, if I'm receiving thoughts, that means it's like an antenna, like a receiver, right? Like there are some packets of energy that are falling onto this antenna. So let me observe, what am I receiving? So that was my first experiment. And what I observed is that moment I let go of forcing a thought and I just take my control away from it, suddenly the floodgates open and all those noise starts pouring in onto that antenna like a chatter, right? So I questioned, like, are these thoughts or are these just noise? So that was my first experiment. So I figured that a lot of what we receive is noise, right? Probably more than 90, 99% of it, right? Is just noise. My second experiment with myself is, okay, let me turn this receiver off, right? So again, I put my focus back on that antenna. And the moment I put my focus back onto it, I wasn't able to create anything, but that noise was gone, right? So that noise was completely gone, but I was actually in a void state. And then I did something ridiculous and audacious. In that state, I drove my car without a single thought. And I reached from point A to point B, and after I parked my car, I just kind of relaxed myself and come back to the normal thing. And then I said, with me focused on that antenna and without a single thought, I was able to drive a car. All my perceptions were alive, my five senses were alive. I was able to see, I was able to smell, I was able to listen to the traffic, but I did not have a single thought in the common parlance. So with these two experiments, I now ask myself, what we imagine or what we think to be thoughts are basically noise, right? And what is truly a thought in that void that I was in is actually coming from some other place. And that some other place, we might call that subconscious mind. That is where it is coming and driving this body of mine through some muscle memory and keeping all my five senses alive. And I'm completely shut off from all that noise. Not a single thought in my cognitive mind. So now I look at it this way, that if there is a building which with a receiver on top on the roof, and all I have is a cloud over here, which is just noise, I can turn off this noise and this thing is still going to work because that building is probably a million floors deep, which has all the functionings that it needs. Our senses, five senses, our body movement, everything can still work the way we want, the way it would work without any of the noise entering it, without any of a single thought in the mind. This thing still works. And I wanted to, with that, ask you, John, that You have been in several competitions where you are trained in the way your mind and your perceptions and all the functionings of the human caliber will come together in you, let's say, memorizing, two decks of cards or auto-generated numbers or 400 lockers and sequences. I really want to ask you, is it true that switching off that noise that's on, the cloud of noise and completely immersing on the subconscious and allowing and surrendering to that subconscious broader intelligence, that supreme intelligence, help you achieve has helped you achieve much of what you have achieved in terms of the world of memory and winning so many memory contests?
That's a huge question. I love this. Because first of all, you've been a meditator for how many years, Rob?
About 10 years now.
Yeah, I'm pretty intense. And you've had some really deep experiences of witnessing yourself meditating or witnessing your thoughts and having these deep experiences. So
Yes.
prefacing that so people don't listen to you and go, oh my gosh, I can't do that, right? Because it's pretty incredible what you're able to experiment on these days. I love hearing that. I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest, what I understand to this right now today, I didn't know when I was winning championships. Meaning the depth of the mind and the quietness you talk about. Because a lot of people ask me, how do you shut off the mind so we can focus? A lot of people want to focus and they try that by shutting off the mind. Like, if you could do that, right? And I was never able to shut off my mind as much as I tried back then, right? Because I was so top heavy, meaning head heavy, heady, if you will, right? As you can imagine, a person would be going into memory. So I would say a lot of my, I want to distinguish the subconscious versus the supreme intelligence too, because a lot of the subconscious is just hidden. Right, it's an operational intelligence that keeps you functioning right in this human body so that we don't just walk off a cliff, right? And it's automated. It's how you some of it's how you survive in that car trip. Not the car trip you're talking about, but because you were fully conscious that entire time. But if you've ever taken a car trip to the store and then you park in the parking lot and go, oh, how'd I get there? I don't
Right.
remember. Subconscious, right? These functions carried you as you were off and floating in Neverland, right? Whatever you were thinking about, right? And so when I trained for so many years, I trained my mind to focus on this, to turn the image or turn the number or whatever I was memorizing into an image, to put that image in a place in my mind, right? And just repeat that process and review. So I trained myself over and over to do a task, sort of robotic, so that when I was in a competition under pressure, I just relied on that roboticness, that training to just fall back into. During that time, many thoughts would come in, many voices in my head, if you will. Not of my choosing, but oh, you're going too slow. Oh, you're forgetting everything. That's not very good. It doesn't feel good. That one felt good, but that one didn't feel good. Do that one again. Look over there, how much time's left, right? These chatter, right? The reactivity of the mind, especially under stress, right? And that's something we can talk about is the stress or the reactivity of the mind. How do you calm that down? Because I think that's a deeper question too. That's what really what interests people. But I would agree with you that the thoughts are not coming from me. The thoughts are not even me. They're coming from another source. And all that source is I mean, talk consciousness, everything starts with energy. Everything is energy first. And so when we're tuned to something, focused on something, that's where we're tuning our radio station, if you will. That's where all the energy goes,
Right.
right? And then the energy goes. Now, energy can form, right, into a bubble or a thought, into something more, I don't want to say tangible, but more of a structure. An energy has formed a structure for us to witness or to feel, right? And that's what we're witnessing. It's something bubbling. We're the consciousness witnessing what we're tuned into, just bubbling. And where humans get into trouble oftentimes is we identify with that bubble, with those bubbles, those thoughts. Oh my gosh, that's me, right? We think it's us talking to ourselves in hatred and or whatever, criticism. And oftentimes it's just the ego. It's just a structure we've created and picked up like a sponge over time, right? Where our mind is a construct, as you know. It's all of our experiences and belief systems and programming and conditioning, you know, from your parents, from a religion, from media, from school, from friends, from thoughts like you've had, or just it just forms a structure of how you view the world, right? And then thoughts can come from that. Almost like, again, from the ego, from an identity
Right.
talking to you, but that ego is not you. This goes really deep, right? Because you're not, we're not, I'm not John Graham, you're not Sharab, you're the awareness, you're the consciousness behind that. Because
Right.
John Graham is aware. You're Sharab, you're aware, but you're also aware that you're aware. So you're the consciousness that's aware that Sharab's aware, right? You can get really deep here.
Yes.
So I would agree with you that the thoughts are not coming from you. You're tuning in to a radio station many times, picking up that energy. You're tuning into a part of your psyche, your ego, that's now it's going to react. It becomes reactive. And some of us have more reactive egos than others. That's the
Right.
work that I'm into, is how do we
Yeah.
calm that reactivity so our mind is less chattery
One
and
of the, yeah, and John, one of the things that this experiment led me also, and you brought it up very nicely in terms of the repetitiveness, right? Because that starts building those neural pathways, you know, like, just like driving the car. The driving the car with a zero thought or no thought became seamless because those neural pathways are pretty deep because, you know, ever since we started driving the car, our muscle memory took on, and it probably is in store in the subconscious mind, which is now able to drive that, right? The deduction from this experiment too was that, you know, there is a lot of clutter, there's a lot of noise in the default mode. Which is to say, without a focus, you will always have this chatters coming. But moment I focused, and I use the word antenna just as a symbology, moment I put the focus on the antenna, now what happens is this chatter gets cut off. It just vanishes. Which is, to an extent, goes to this law of inversion that, you know, a lot of scientists have referred to. Like, what you chase runs away, and what you take for granted, you know, what you go, you know, kind of let go, comes back as a default mode. So, in most of our lives, we let go of this machinery on its own. That's why all this chatter is feeding in 24 by 7. But moment we push it back with a focus, this chatter runs away like a shy cat. And then we switch into the subconscious and let subconscious do its stuff. Why I bring this up is, you know, there's a lot of human suffering today. And you know, this message of this conversation that we are having, my trust is that this goes to as many people as possible because these are very deep conversations. When people have a feeling of loss, when they're into a, you know, a thought which is all the time negative, which is ringing in their mind from past trauma, past experiences, you know, the darkness, all of that, they believe it to be true because it's just the constant noise. But if they put the focus on the now, on the antenna or call it the now, then this starts fading off. And more they can be in the focus with no thought and surrender to the subconscious. The subconscious is always a healer. Like it's going to give those urges. And as people can follow those urges, they will be able to come out of their past traumas, their the bad experiences they have had into something that is rejuvenating now, which is coming from a higher source, from a subconscious, from a supreme source, rather than this clutter on top.
Sure. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
that's what I've been trying to also implement to myself, to see how much can I surrender to the to this higher knowledge, higher intelligence. So that was one. You talk about the power of repetitiveness and practice, and how it starts becoming a muscle memory. You have also spoken about pattern recognition, which helps you greatly, when you are into, remembering of things, into memory related work. One of the things that as part of my profession I've been working towards is how do we engage the younger demographics of today, the Gen Zs, the fresh out of college, folks who are joining the industry today. What are the modalities that can be presented that they can learn faster, they can retain faster, retain better? Because we live in a digital age of scrolling. Everything is just instant gratification, and people want things quickly. There is no appetite for a wait. In that ecosystem, what would be your suggestions to our, especially to our younger generation? What should they do so they can retain better and learn faster?
The current world and pace we live in is full of insanity, right? It's an insane pace. I had once had a friend come to me who makes videos for, his niche and tries to make them really quick, snippet, bite size. And these are his niche is people trying to be more mindful, trying to have more peace, trying to, learn and have more focus. And I argued with him, maybe not argued, debated him on this too, because he wanted everything. John, can you make something really quick and bite-size, and let's make our content just really quick. I don't want you to get any fluff or just explain and just get right to the point. And I told him that, I don't really agree with this. I don't want to force myself to fit into this insanity, because now you're just giving people their drug of choice of quick, fast, rush. And if someone truly wants to learn and to be at peace and to be focused, they're going to have to realize on their own that that pace isn't going to support that. It's not supportive of that, what they really want, right? So I'm not really interested in convincing people of that. I think, you knew me a couple of years ago when I went through a very dark time of like realizing this fully. I had to learn it on my own. I had to go to the depths of it to learn this isn't working, this rushness, this. And so, to answer your question, what I teach too now is more in a peaceful, relaxed state, not just to be peaceful and relaxed, but to show people, because I've embodied it myself, how to be relaxed and be at peace, because that will help you learn better, focus better, be more present, right? Because you can't teach someone in that model. So I hope that makes that first off, that change has to be made. Because I have clients even to this day who say, John, I'm feeling drained all day. How do I maintain my mental acuity at work or through all day? And they're not taking any breaks, they're just going full throttle. And I'm telling him, your brain fog is telling you something, that you're living at an insane pace, right?
Right.
So first off, we have to, most of the headiness, the heady people out there, and I was one of them for sure, we're not even aware of what's going on in our bodies until we get brain fog and feel deep anxiety and shut down and feel paralyzed or overwhelmed, right? But still then,
Right.
our body's wisdom, you talk about this intelligence, is shut off. We've defaulted to relying on our mind, which is conditioned to be rushed, to be quick, to be in this society, when our body's rejecting it completely. All right. So that has to be the basis. Because a lot of the clients that come to me, they're like, John, I bought your memory course and I just want to hire you to teach me how to improve my memory. But they're so stressed, they're so rushed, they don't have any time. They're just doing everything quick, they want it fast. And I'm like, your memory's fine if you move out of this insane pace. If the stress releases, if you slow down, if you feel all of this emotion inside of you and start processing it, which is the deeper work that I do, right? That you know of. When you
Right.
start feeling into that, your memory's going to be fine, most
Right.
likely.
Right.
Now we can learn some cool techniques and take it even further, learn even more. But first off, that pace, that need to follow the mind and that whip cracking has to be relinquished. And it's very scary because we have been living our lives conditioned in this world to always feel like we got to be accomplishing something. We always got to be productive. We always have to be doing something, even if we're sitting down on our phone or sitting on the couch. Got to be listening to a podcast. Got to be productive. Got to be learning something. Got to have a show on that's educational. It's just nonstop. And how
Right.
many of us can just sit and be with ourselves, right? So if someone wants to learn better and faster, and especially this newer generation, you have to see the insanity first. You have to see it clearly. And now there's that fork in the road. Do you follow that path of insanity? Do you can keep following it? Or do you not? Do you see the wisdom in your body? Do you see the higher intelligence within? So that has to
That's
happen first.
fabulous. That's a fabulous perspective. And so glad that we touched on this topic. There is immense wisdom. And John, you have practiced this so many times, and I'm a student of it as well. There is immense wisdom in rest, in slowing down. In fact, some of the best ideas pop up after a good night's sleep or even a short power nap in the afternoon, and you get up and the light just turns on. So there is certainly a strong connection between the body's rhythm, which is to say the body is a machine that needs rest, that needs a slowdown to rejuvenate itself. And then from that, the inner wisdom, the cognitive, element of it, they kind of very strongly associated with each other.
Yes, the balance, yeah,
The
absolutely.
balance. Very, very interesting perspective. We did talk about, the peace and the rest, and how it helps in replenishing the memory cells, the cognitive power. You did talk to me in the past that there are certain modalities of learning. One is obviously textual, that is reading a book. Second could be audio visual, like watching a YouTube. Or a reel or what have you, right? Those are audio visual. But there are also things that you have inculcated in your practice, which is pattern based, like recognizing certain patterns, let's say certain facial structures or certain hints or symbols, which are able to strengthen those memory collection. So could you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, and this is Good that you're asking me this again, because I want to make sure everyone's focused on rest and peace. But now we can learn. Now we can go deep here, right? Especially for the people who are ready for this. A lot of what I've learned over the years in memory is I have actually, and I didn't realize it at the time, I was accessing and trusting my intuition. Because you talk about pattern recognition, and it's very, if I really break it down and describe it, I guess that's what I'm doing, right? But I don't really know. You know, I'm not thinking about these things as I'm doing it, right? Because it's so quick. Over the years, and again, I kind of alluded to this, when I'm memorizing something, anything, if it's your name, Shirab, I'm looking at your face, intuitively noticing something about your vibe or who you are, and then I'm turning your name, Shirab, into an image or something to connect with the vibe of you or the image of you or your beard or your glasses or something about you, right? And for example, Shirab is a very, unique name. And I would just look at the first sound, sh, it makes a sh sound, and I would just imagine like you're a librarian, sh. And then maybe you're shushing Rob, right? Sh, Rob, right? Something like that, just to make a simple story. And I come up with that just like that because of all the practice I've done and
I
trusting.
see.
Because here, and I talk about this in my memory course and what I teach, but I teach what's called the ink blot method. Ink blot, like the Rorschach test, where a psychologist will hold up an ink blot image, right? Or ink a series of ink blot images, and you're just supposed to blurt first thing that comes to my mind, right? Even like the image behind you, if you're watching the video, is kind of like an ink blotty. I can't see the details of it, but it's abstract to my
Yeah.
mind. It's like, ooh, do you see a face in there, or a wolf, or a cloud, or what do you see? Ketchup, whatever. Because it
Right.
shows, the psychologist something about your psyche. I'm more interested in the quickness, the trust of that. Because you can do two things. I've got my hands up, two routes. You can either A, do what most logical people do and say, well, Shirab, man, I'm gonna have to think, like, I'm gonna look at this name and I'm gonna come up with the perfect image, right? And it's, oh, there's a SH, then an OUR, our, and there's an ab and an ab, like, and you start analyzing and coming up with this perfect image for a name. And you're like, no, I don't like that one. That's not good. Like, it's not strong enough. I don't know what to put for our. Or there's S our. S our. Like, I'm looking at your name, the spelling of your name, right? And I'm just judging, critiquing, analyzing. And I'm thinking. I'm using my ego, my mind. It's
Right.
taking a while, right? Or I could trust whatever thought comes to me first. Which again, that takes trust. Because immediately if you're in your mind, you're gonna criticize that. Well, that's a stupid idea. Why would I put sh like sh, like a librarian? That's I won't remember the whole name. I need to you see where the mind can start getting in the way?
Right.
So I've trained myself over the years to as much as possible strengthen that neural pathway of that second vein, that instant intuitive download. Right? If I like Sharab is a very unique name, but if I met someone named Rob, do I imagine a robber? Do I imagine a friend named Rob? Do you know that I know of? Do I imagine a famous Rob, Rob Lowe, right? I could analyze them all or just choose the first thing that comes to my mind. Like this man is robbing a bank, Rob, right? So I trust that and I've cultivated that. So it's more, for me, it's more intuitive. It's just like an instant trust. And I've learned. The more I trust myself to make those connections or to just trust what coming to me, it's quicker. Obviously, my mind came up with it, or a source came up from it that's higher than me or wherever. It doesn't matter where it came from. And I trust that. And so that's more of what I do is in pattern recognition, as you may explain it or see it as more of an intuitive-based ability to just trust the intelligence within me or what's coming into me. But you have to notice what's your mind and you have to notice what's your intuition. And that's a really deep topic too for some people. Some people really want to trust their intuition, but they're so heavily mind-based, so heady, right? That they don't trust their inner wisdom, that they don't trust the inner downloads of the creativity that's trying to creep through. They get analytical and override it, right? So that's how I would describe what I do at a basic level. Yeah.
If you want to listen to the full podcast episode, join the Patreon. On this Patreon, you'll get full access to me with Q&As, full podcast episodes, exclusive videos, classes, and more. That is at patreon.com/John Graham. Also, there's a free video I made on how to alchemize the true root of the pressure within you and embody your higher potential. This is a counterintuitive process. This is unlike any of the mental or peak performance methods that you've tried in the past that have gotten you only limited capacity. If you want to watch that video, go to codesofpotential.com.